LEX 18 presents a podcast with hot takes, hot topics, with your hosts, Megan Mannering and Evelyn Schultz. This is Hot Mike.
You are listening or watching to another episode of Hot Mike here at LEX 18.
We have had quite the array of guests so far. We've had broadcasters, sports legends, Miss Kentucky, but today we have a guest who's different than anyone else.
You're unique.
So unique. We are welcoming, we are thrilled to welcome Ian Corbin, director of the Kentucky Meat Shower Festival. Good morning, Ian.
We're so glad you can be here.
Yeah, where are you coming in from today?
From Owensville, Kentucky. Okay. About 60 miles down I-64, right off the exit.
Okay. What was going on in Owensville this morning? Anything?
Just rain.
Kind of similar to here, too.
Okay. Yeah. We want to get to know you a little bit before we jump into the lore of the, you know, the
And there's
Kentucky
a lot of lore.
We're going to have to break it down. So, Ian, what's your origin story? Where did you grow up? Are you a Kentucky kid?
Yeah, I'm born and raised in Owensville, Kentucky. Lived in Moorhead a little bit, lived in Lexington a little bit, but mainly Owensville. It's my little hometown that I like, that I'm close enough to the big city that I love, but I can get away from it anytime I feel like it. But born and raised there, right downtown in the big city, as we call it, of 1,200 people.
Yeah, sure. Get that. We did a spotlight series on Moorhead or on Rowan County recently. So you went to college there. Did you ever go to Rutabaker's?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that is my usual, introduction to people. Like, when I meet them, I'm like, why don't you try this place out? And then I've spread it as far as Ohio and Western Kentucky and all that. They order them or come stop by and get them, or they give me a call and say, hey, can you bring me some cookies?
Aww. Seriously, the sugar cookies are so good. We were there for
I didn't get to try them. I'm so bummed. I know everyone else got one.
You have to go. Well, we were there for like a whole week doing features, and every day when a reporter would come back to the newsroom, it was like, we got a new batch.
Yeah.
They were probably kind of getting sick of us, but those cookies are so good. And then Holbrook Drug is the other place in
Moorhead. It's a great place. Yeah, it's right down there next to the campus, and spent many a day down there when we were in between classes at Moorhead. Also, my as I jokingly call my fraternity was, at the time, it was Main Street Music, which is now Fat Patty's.
Okay.
It was a music shop, CDs. And we were, if you've ever watched the movie High Fidelity, we were John Cusack and Jack Black. you came in, we judged you about what you wanted to listen to.
Okay.
I have fond memories of Moorhead.
What's your favorite memory from Moorhead?
Favorite memory would probably be just the friends made. I remember we went to the last, I think they've had maybe one since then, but we went to like the last concert that they held at Johnson Arena, which was I want to say the Goo Goo Dolls, I think.
Okay.
That's been a while. I think it was actually in high school when it happened. And then they decided, they're like, this is a basketball arena. We wanted to play basketball here. So they kind of quit doing it. But that was a very good time.
Sounds like Moorhead was, and still is, kind of the place to be.
Yeah, it might be
deceiving, right? Because it's a small town, small campus.
Kind of, one of my favorite stories working in sports was Kenneth Fareed. Donnie Tindall at the time was the coach at Moorhead State.
Mm-hmm.
He was the only one that actually recruited him at first and stuck with him. And then right was he getting ready to graduate, everybody was like, oh, he's good. We should probably recruit him. Uh-huh. And he was like, Coach Tindall has been here since day one. I'm going to Moorhead. He got here at Bluegrass Airport, got in. He was like, all right, this ain't too bad. And then they just kept driving east. And he was just like, there's nothing. Which, especially for an athlete, probably worked out in the best because kept him out of trouble a little bit.
Totally.
Yeah.
That was one of my favorite stories. He's like, they just kept going, and there's less stuff.
And Moorhead probably has grown since you went to college there, right?
It hit a little, as I was out of college, it hit like every little small town in Kentucky, especially Eastern Kentucky. It hit a slump, and then it gradually with like the work of like Tony Pence and their downtown Moorhead, the music center that they have there where they celebrate the Appalachian music and stuff. It's grown back, and now they've, of course, now they've, when I was there, the roads actually went through campus. Now that everything's blocked off, and they have like where you can, they have the big stage and stuff for music right there downtown next to Sawstone. So it's definitely grown up, and that's what we're attempting to do in Owensville. We're trying to get it, trying to get it growing. We've definitely been in a stale point for a lot of years where people didn't want things to change, and now we're finally starting to get folks that are. Yeah, we should probably change a little bit. We should probably
a little change. Yeah,
it's not going to hurt.
Intimidating for a small town. I'm from a really, really small town in Indiana, so I feel that change can be.
It's a balance, right?
Yeah, definitely. So you said you have a little background in radio. Is that what you currently do?
Like, I do.
Paint the picture for us.
We needed a job.
How it always starts, right?
My neighbor worked for our local radio station, WKCA 97.7 FM, if you want to listen. One of the guys that was working there was going to quit. So they were like, she knew I needed a job. So she was like, hey, won't you come in and interview? Did. He decided not to quit.
Oh.
So then I didn't get a job. And then like a year later, he finally did. He moved on to a different industry. And they were like, hey, do you still want to work? And I was like, yeah, I was fresh out of college. Mm-hmm. And
did you have a degree in broadcast or communication? Or
I did. I worked on that, but then I switched over to like real estate and business. And so I was introduced to it. Tim Creekmore, which was a great professor at Morehead State, which was like, you'd probably be okay at this. You'd probably do good. At that time, they also at Morehead State, they kind of combined everything, radio and broadcast. But then, so I started there, and I was just basically there to babysit stuff nowadays. It's not as live as it used to be in radio.
Mm-hmm.
But started editing audio and everything, and then got into Morehead State. And I also do our Bath County and Round County sports. We're over those.
Nice.
I do Morehead football, basketball, men's and women's. Got into doing that, and I've been doing that ever since. This makes my 21st season doing Morehead State.
Wow.
So people might recognize your voice if they don't recognize
the name. Because I'm the behind. I'm the button guy.
in the commercials. You have like a radio voice.
I would say you do.
That's
really good.
I do commercials and stuff like that.
Okay.
But we used to joke at the end of the UK broadcast with Tom Leach and them.
Mm-hmm.
They always thanked Bo Robinson, which was the producer.
Yeah.
It was a lot of kids, university kids doing the work, but Bo was the producer. So we started kind of joking that at the end of it, they needed to do, thanks to our executive producer, Ian Corbin. So that's been going on for 20 years. But it was kind of a joke at first, but then I did more.
Yeah.
I do all of our opens and closes for everything and do all for Bath County and Round County, do all that as well.
Very cool.
So now people can put a face to the
name. Yes, exactly.
If you've heard my name.
Hear your voice and put the voice with it too. Yeah. It sounds like you're kind of a guy who makes things happen.
I am. I'm a creator, and normally I hate acknowledgement.
Attention.
I just like to do it. I joked with my work doing stuff in Owensville. I was appointed a Kentucky Colonel.
Congratulations.
And I joke that other people have told more people about that than I have. I'm very proud of it, but I'm not doing it for that.
Totally. Sure. Well, a lot of people who are named Kentucky Colonels, they let you know.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, yeah.
Which, as they should.
Yeah, they should. So we're both from Indiana. And some of our listeners, our family members, they're from Indiana. Explain what the Kentucky Colonel is and what that honor represents.
It is the highest civilian appointment award you can have in Kentucky from the governor. And it's basically a focus on promoting Kentucky and especially like your hometown, whatever kind of things you do. A lot of people, they work in charitable stuff and they receive it.
Yep.
A lot of business people that, have done good, they receive it. And then mine was, it was a shocking surprise. A lot of the people I work with at the local Bath County Memorial Library, they're the ones that sent in the stuff to get me appointed. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize they did it. And they were like, oh, yeah, we got you. You're a Kentucky Colonel. And I was like, oh, okay.
That's an honor, right? To be recognized. Yeah. Like, okay.
Yeah. It's one of those that makes you take a beat. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
And in my brain, like, it's not a personal thing, but it's a, okay, you see what I'm doing. You're acknowledging. Yeah.
Totally.
And acknowledgement is nice.
And hopefully I'm inspiring people, which I have been, thankfully, in Bath County. Because I try to do county stuff wide, but I focus, of course, on Owensville. Mm-hmm. That's where I'm from. But through that, it's led to a little group in Salt Lake that they're like, hey, how do you do stuff? We want to do stuff. And then Sharpsburg, so all of our little towns, our little locations.
You're leading the charge.
You are. Yeah. Do you feel like Kentucky, especially the smaller Kentucky communities, are underestimated?
They are. In Bath County especially, I always say that our biggest issue is we're too close to, like, Moorhead, Mount Sterling.
Yeah.
Overshadowed by towns.
The simplest thing of, like, I need a car part. Well, instead of going to our parts house that's in town, they'll go to Mount Sterling to, a big company auto parts place.
Yeah.
And then we're close enough to Lakeston. We had it when Toyota opened in Georgetown, we had, like, a huge amount of people that go to Georgetown. And it's an hour drive, but it was a very good job at the time. It still is. And then we kind of want to bring that stuff back to Owensville and to all the other little towns. Where you can have, yes, you may have to go to get a good paying job, but then maybe that'll lead to folks opening up little stores that you can kind of support and sponsor, kind of go to.
Yeah.
Well, and what you're, this undertaking that we brought you on here to talk about, I have done a series for the past few years on Sunrise called Spooky Sunrise, where we highlight haunted places across the state. And something that comes up over and over again, which is probably one of the things that puts you all on the map.
Yeah.
The Kentucky meat shower.
Yeah. It's an oddity. Thankfully, myself and some of our other folks there in Owensville, it's one of those, it's unique, and we like to keep the unique going.
Yeah.
Like to try to, when I was in school, it was like part of history class.
You learned about this in school?
Yeah. And now.
I love it.
Now we've got, just a lot of younger teachers and teachers that aren't from Owensville, so they don't—they've never heard about it before, so they don't know it, and they don't tell the kids about it. So, like last year when this all started, it was amazing to me the amount of, like, high schoolers I would have come up to me and be like, "What is this? Like, what are y'all talking about?
What is it?" Yeah. For those who don't know, can you describe what this incident was?
The history of the meat shower on March 3rd, 1876. Miss Crouch, Rebecca Crouch. Most of the things you'll see say Mrs. Allen Crouch, because back then you got your husband's name. They didn't care about you. But it was Rebecca Crouch, so we like to kind of promote that.
Totally.
It was her. She was out doing laundry and making soap, and her grandson, watching the grandson, he was running around in Olympia Springs, which is a small, I guess you would call it like a village.
Okay.
Because it's not a town. It's literally like two roads meet. She was out making soap and doing laundry, heard something. Well, then something hit her, like it hit her arm and fell to the ground. And she was, soap making is like one bad mistake, you're burned. So she's kind of not paying attention to the other stuff around her. And then she started kind of hearing other, say, like hitting the ground. So finally she looked down at the ground, and at the time she just saw like a thing. Then she looked up, saw it raining, and she grabbed her grandson, ran inside, and from the window she watched as, like, the chickens and the cows and the dogs and cats were eating whatever it was. So then she goes outside after about 3 minutes. After 3 minutes, it kind of quit. She goes outside and looks at the ground, picks up a piece of raw meat, and about – it's – Not that very big.
But like a steak?
No, it was more like, say, inch and a half by 2-3 inches or whatever, kind of a sliver, I guess you'd say.
A sliver.
More beef-like? Or well, do we not really know?
What she saw was, you couldn't tell. we'll say it that way to keep it nice. So she looked around solid, went to her neighbors. Her neighbors were like, we didn't see anything. Because supposedly it was a sunny day, no clouds in the sky.
Okay. The neighbors saw nothing.
Nothing. Didn't see anything. So they came over, see it. They get a horse wagon. This is how we know how much fell. We knew it fell. It fell over about the size of a football field. When you say that, a lot of people were like, they think of it as like a consistent.
Yeah.
It was spread out over a football field. So I get that a lot. Like, that's a lot of meat. It was, but it wasn't.
The price of meat right now. Yeah.
But they went, they got it up, and it filled a horse wagon, which at the time would probably have been like 4 foot by 8 foot long. Filled it up past the top of it. Then it was one of those tow people. They got like the constable. The constable went and got the sheriff. Mm-hmm. The sheriff got the judge executive. The judge, of course, something was happening, so the newspaper followed. They wrote about it. Got picked up by like the state newspapers. Mm-hmm. Then they got picked up by the national newspapers because we have articles from like the New York Times about it.
So there is a record of this.
A record of it.
Is that how we know about it, right?
It is. That's a whole nother. It's a whole bunch of coincidences that happened that we got to the point where we are today. So people came. They came as far away from San Francisco and London and Paris.
And why did they come? Just because the lore, or they wanted to get their own free
meat? It was a mystery.
Meat?
So they didn't. Everybody was wanting to try to figure out the mystery.
And they wanted to lay eyes on the meat.
And to see that it was real. So they came, and as far as 2 weeks after it had happened, people came and tasted the meat. That is the grossest part. That's one of the grossest parts of it.
Did everyone survive that?
They did.
Okay.
And then one of the best accounts of it is a gentleman tasted it, and he said it tastes like bar, which tastes like bear. He was a hunter and a trapper. And the article in the paper is kind of hilarious because everything is misspelled because they were trying to catch his accent and how he was talking. But we had, had professors come down from all over. One of those professors was from Transylvania University. Mm-hmm. Took a meat sample. At first it was venison, and it was a bunch of different types of meat.
Yeah.
They are kind of local. That maybe could be, but ended up the professor at Transylvania kind of figured out it was horse meat. The other grossest part of it, the two most likely at the time were horse. They described it as horse lung, so I'm sure it was they just happened to get a piece of lung meat.
Yeah,
but then the other way they described it was the flesh of an infant.
Oh my word!
To which I was like, how do you know that?
Yeah, what?
It's a dark turn.
Yeah,
but that just inspires 10 more questions.
Yeah, and what made it? Like, how do you know that? And why is horse lung and that similar? But the university, Transylvania, it's horse. I think it's all horse.
Okay.
But it could be a mix of stuff, but mainly horse. And then by that time, then the theory started.
Yes.
How did it happen? What was it? How could it be real?
How many theories are there with this?
There's a number of theories, and then there's probably 3-4 like that are the big ones possibles. there's one that it is like most likely what happened.
Okay,
but the weird ones are two brothers got in a fight on a nearby farm and had their knives, and they cut themselves up so finely that a tornado came and picked them up and threw them to the next
farm.
Into
the wind?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which the joke is, well, that couldn't happen because there weren't any knives anywhere. They didn't.
Right.
But,
right.
And of course, there's no way that could have happened. one of the other, the wildest, it's Professor Kurt, as I call him, at Transylvania, which has the piece of meat, the sample we have. His favorite is, at the time, the Comet Belt was like a big thing in science, big discussion nationally and around the world. And there was the writer for the New York Times, he believed it was a meat. There's a meat belt. It was a planet that had like blown up. And
sure.
There was just meat.
Yeah.
And like a comet had come through.
Rained down meat.
Brought the meat with it.
If there are aliens, there definitely could be a meat belt.
That's true.
But of course, you're like, well, that happened. It would have been cooked meat instead of raw meat. Because it would come through the atmosphere.
Oh. So you have to cross that theory. Yeah. Yeah.
That's interesting.
And then like the ones that are, I mean, they could have happened, but it's unlikely. Like a downspout, as Bill Mick would tell you about it. It came, hit a little creek, mm-hmm. picked up like the frogs and the fish and...
Okay.
Went over a little bit and dumped them out somewhere else on her farm. Mm. Unlikely, because the pieces of meat were too big to be that kind
They weren't frogs
stuff.
And yeah. fish.
Which there may have been some of that in there, but the other pieces that they had were too big for that and were kind of mm-hmm. beef horse looking.
Yeah.
So, like, the theory that is the most possible, the most likely, is that a group of vultures found a dead horse. Took off, and one of two things might have happened. Sometimes when they get scared and they fly off real quick, they will puke to be lighter so they can get up quicker and get away. Then the other theory is same thing. They ate. They uh-huh. took off. One of them puked, and and vultures, if one does it, they all do it because they think something was wrong with what they just ate.
No. Okay. That makes sense.
So there are other occurrences of that happening and
okay.
people seeing the vultures. So there's okay. actual other meat rains, but not really the same thing.
The real meat rain.
Yeah. And you're like, well, she looked in the sky. She didn't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sunny. There were no clouds like blocking them or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then come to find out, I did not realize this till I got into doing the festival, that brown and black vultures can fly like 13 to 20,000 feet in the sky.
What?
So they might have been there and she
undetected.
Just couldn't. Yeah. She just couldn't see them. So that is the most likely thing that could have happened.
Is that the one you believe?
Yes. Also, last year I was talking to people. They came, media people came and stuff. It was just one of those, like, I just said it and I didn't think about it.
Uh-huh.
And I don't think it's what happened. But I was like, well, you know, right next door was the Olympia Springs Hotel. Back then, that was during the cholera outbreak.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people would come from Lexington. At the time, they thought it was they didn't know how it was passed.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out it was passed by drinking water. So a lot of people left town and went to these natural springs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in Owensville or in Olympia Springs in Bath County, they had a very nice one. It had a bit luxury kind of place. It was a spa kind mm-hmm. of a retreat place. So. Their business was a little down at that point in time, and nobody except for one woman was there to see it happen, and it just so happened right next door to the hot springs, the hotel.
Oh.
So I was just talking, I was like, maybe it didn't happen. Maybe it was just a promotional thing way back in the day.
Interesting.
And wow. then they like took legs, and people were like, that could have been what happened. I was like, I don't think that's what happened.
You're just spitballing here. Yeah,
maybe. Yeah. Because by the time they were like loading the wagon up, there was like everybody from Olympia Springs was there. So they all saw it mm-hmm. being picked up and put in the wagon. And this is one of those like in the moment you make up a conspiracy theory and you don't even realize you're doing it.
Well, you're asking the hard questions.
Yeah.
I like it because
yeah.
it's very journalist of you, you know?
Yeah, I imagine over the years, journalists and mm-hmm. various people have wanted to do interviews and YouTube videos and all that stuff. I mean, is there media out there where you can really like take a deep dive
yeah.
into the meat shower?
There's all kinds. There's all kinds of other theories that mm-hmm. people have come up with over the years. One of the best examples, which you can't hardly find it, is the Mysteries at the Museum. I don't know if you ever watched that on, it's on Travel Channel,
okay.
but it's on like Hulu now or something.
Yeah.
The host there, it's a like deep dive of what happened and might have happened.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, Kurt is on it. He's the main person they've talked to about it.
Okay.
Cause he is, that's the other, how he got the piece of meat, how we have the piece of meat.
Mm-hmm.
The professor from Transylvania, who made the trip back then, of course, by train, mm-hmm. found it, put it in a little jar. It's not as big as you think it is. There's one picture of it.
We might have
white
to insert a photo in this in this podcast.
Because I was expecting like a big jar from the way it looked, but it's just like a little 4-inch glass jar, kind of. Okay. Maybe a little bit bigger than that. But so he collected it, did a test on it and stuff, and put it. It's just in formaldehyde in the in the bottle. And the history of Transylvania, which is also fascinating, because I did not realize, to me, to growing up, it was just there's a university in Lexington outside of UK.
Yeah.
It was the 13th university in the U.S. Mm-hmm. It was the best medical school. That's how it started, was the medical school. Mm-hmm. It was the best in the country and around the world, kind of. So good that their students left and went to Cincinnati, went to Louisville, and started UC and U of A. And then they kind of put themselves out of business because it was easier, the river, to go there than it was to come to Lexington. So they started, their teachers, their students, they were paying for them to go to Europe and get specimens and like the newest, weirdest machinery for medicine and stuff. So they kept them going for a while. Eventually they closed up the medical school and changed over to like, I think it was teaching and nursing, and then it grew as it has now. But when they were done with that, the building it was in, each room, it was a fireproof building is how they describe it, even though it caught fire 3 times. But the rooms were basically like a vault. So when they were done with this stuff, they just kind of put it in a room, shut the door, and it just sat there. Kurt and another professor, Jamie, Kurt was working on, he's an art professor. Mm-hmm. He is the art teacher that the kids that stole all the books from the museum and the art stuff. He was their professor.
Okay.
He's in the movie. If you watch it, he's one of the board members or whatever that's like decide if they're going to get in trouble or not. But he, as an art professor, be in class, he'd be like, here's this, like the Audubon book, which was the one they stole.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like pixelated, like it was taken in the 70s, horrible pictures that you just online, they'd look it up. So he just decided one day, he was like, I'm going to catalog everything. And that way now when you look it up and you get it in our directory, it comes up, it's a high-def picture. It's nice looking. So he was working on that. Jamie was working on something else to do with physics because he was a physics professor. And they just kind of met and decided let's work together. Opened a door one day and there was a little jar of meat. And luckily the paperwork, the files for it and everything.
Interesting.
Because it is the only authentic piece of meat that has a timeline. They can prove that the professor went there and got it. Because there are other ones, like I think UK has one and Louisville has one, but it's just a sample. They don't know what it's. There's no kind of.
So they could be imposters.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that, but
we know that the one at Transy is
100%. Yeah, it came from the meat shower. The professor, that's the one he tested and worked with, and
very interesting.
So it's a lot of coincidences that led to we even having it. Because, like I said, the building burned down 3 times, and it didn't.
Mm-hmm. It survived.
It survived it, along with a lot of other stuff. I always tell people right now. I think it's under construction, but the medical museum at Transy.
Yeah,
it's like second in the nation of like all their stuff they have, only to the one in Philadelphia, which is insane. So that's another big thing. So support Transy.
We actually did a story about the museum at Transy for Spooky Sunrise last year.
I remember this.
The tidbit that I thought was funny was Ozzy Osbourne came and visited.
Yeah.
So he had theoretically seen the meat, right?
Yeah, he did see it. It's on his son Jack's show they did.
Uh-huh.
They saw it. I think it's like the second largest hairball.
There's a third thing. They've got so many interesting things there.
Who knew there was so much kooky stuff in Kentucky?
Yeah.
When people hear that you're, you know, taking this on, you're the founder of the festival of the Kentucky Meat Shower, how do they react? Are they like... are their emotions?
It's usually two reactions. It's what are you talking about? And then the other one is, well, I've heard about it. What is it?
Yeah.
You know, and then I go into talking about it. Like I said, I think for the last 2-3 months, I've talked about it nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm willing to talk about it because it brings people. At the last year's festival, which was our first festival, we had a professor from Ann Arbor that day of drove down.
Really?
Saw the meet, talked to Kurt, asked him 100 questions, and then she went home that night. So she literally came forward just to see the meat sample. So we're hoping more people do that.
Yeah.
I'm sure you never know who's going to hear about this story and want to drive over and check it out.
We had last year, it was a girl and her grandmother, and they came. Grandmother had never heard about it. Didn't know anything about it.
The grandmother was probably like, where are we going?
Yeah. And she just brought, I think the girl was middle school, high school age. So she brought her to see it. And they were talking to Kurt, and the girl was like, oh, yeah, I know all about it. And the grandmother, I've never heard anything about this. And he, I'm glad you came to look at it, and let me tell you about it. And he asked, like, what was her name? Because he's trying to keep a record of, like, when he meets people.
Yeah.
And said her name, and turns out she is the great-great-great-granddaughter of the bear guy.
Oh, what?
Had the same last name. He was like, by any chance, are you related to him? She, oh, yeah. I think it's Benjamin Franklin Ellington, I think was his name.
Okay.
And she was an Ellington. And she was like, yeah, that's my, however far back it went, granddad.
This lore runs so deep.
Yeah. Because we actually, up until 2 weeks ago, we're not sure exactly where it happened because the hotel's gone. It's been gone for a long time. Mm-hmm. I think it went out of business like in the 1940s, finally. I grew up thinking it happened actually right where the roads are, US 36 and Mudlick Road. Mm-hmm. I thought it happened right there. Kurt sent me maps that were down the road a little bit. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it didn't happen there, I don't think. So I went to our PVA office, and thank you, Sabrina, and Rosemary, and Jackie.
Shout out.
For looking up stuff for me. So we looked up, we were trying to figure it out, and we got talking, and that's actually Sabrina was like, well, I thought it happened over here by the hotel, kind of by it. So I was like, maybe, I don't know, we don't know. We don't know where it happened yet. So I went to our local library, Bath County Memorial Library. They help us out a lot throughout the year, but they're a big partner in this, the festival. And I was talking to another lady, and one of the girls that was there I think in college, she was like, oh yeah, that was my papaw's farmland, which of course was his whatever, however far back.
Yeah.
It was Rebecca Kraft was his something grandmother.
Wow.
And I was like, what? And she's like, oh yeah. She's like, it happened it's this little road that's in between two little bit bigger roads. It's covered by trees now.
Yeah.
But then come to find out, we were like, okay, we kind of pinpointed it. Well, then I went back to Kurt came to town, and we were going over PVA's office talking. And Sabrina, that worked at PVA's office, she's like, that's where I live. That's her husband's. He's a Crouch. Mm-hmm. That's his family. So we've literally pinpointed where it happened at now.
Wow.
So it's on a little road called Pistol Road, if you ever want to go to Bath County.
Okay.
Out 36.
Put it on the list.
I was like, that's wild that we finally figured it out.
All are like the Hardy Boys. Yeah. It's true, like piecing this mystery together.
I know, and there's still so much investigating to do. Let's talk about the festival. Okay. When did it begin, and who had the idea that, like, hey, we need to promote this leash shower and let the people know?
Last year was the first year of it. Okay. I've been doing events in Owensville for this makes the 10th year of it. A neighbor of mine, as I told people, they used to do like ice cream socials and street dance, sock hops. Mm-hmm. He wanted to do it again. Didn't know how to do it, but he did not want Facebook. He didn't want radio time. He didn't want to pay for anything.
As we said, change is hard.
Yeah. So he was like, I can do it on my own. And he had one little woman show up selling eggs, and she sold a whole lot of eggs. People just pulled up to the curb and bought them from her. But on Monday he came in and he was like, maybe you can help me do stuff. I was like, okay, yeah, I'll help you. So we started. It turned out we were like the first in our area. It was like a first Saturday kind of farmer's market kind of deal. Yeah. We did it for a few years. Then we started moved it to the evening after COVID and started doing, at that time we were doing music and stuff. Mm-hmm. Then the entire time we were doing it, people were like, hey, here's this idea. One of them that persisted was the meat shower.
As it should.
And I was, like a lot of people, I'd be like, how do you have a festival around a piece of meat? I have no idea. So we didn't do it.
Creative.
Yeah, so we didn't do anything for a while. And then actually here locally, Kentucky for Kentucky and Shop Local put out shirts like 2 years ago, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
Randomly. There was nothing. There was no reason for it. They just put them out. Everybody got interested again. So I was like, hey, let me look it up and let me see what, see if I can do something with it. Turned out this year is the 150th year. So last year, literally mid-January, I was like, let's try to do it this year.
Yeah.
Test it out, see who wants to come. So like in a month and a half, we put it together. We had it on March 1st last year. Cause we tried to have it happen on March 3rd, but we're trying to have it as close to the date and be on like Saturday as possible. It was a little cold. It wasn't bad for, I mean, March in Kentucky, it was not bad at all. Mm-hmm. I was running around sweating to death because I was back and forth between places. But, our vendors and stuff were a little scared because it was a little cold and might rain. So they were inside. And then you had our stuff at the History Museum inside. And the library was doing their stuff. So I joked that I walked outside and I was like, there's nobody here. This is bad. This is luckily.
You're thinking it's a bust.
Yeah, like luckily this is small and
we didn't embarrass ourselves too much.
We'll do it and we'll never do it again. But then come to find out the History Museum, which I knew they had a guest book. Mm-hmm. So they asked people to sign in, put where you're from on it. They ended up, it was like 350 or 400 people signed in.
Wow.
Me walking around the festival, talking to people, like 100, 200 people that were like, oh, we didn't even go up and look at it. We just came for like the festival stuff. Mm-hmm. So we ended up, we figured out it was 500, 600 people were there. It just looked bad because everybody was inside whenever I'd go outside. But it turned out great. We had a good group of kids that played, we had games and stuff for them. So this year, that's why we're kind of doing media.
Sure. Trying to get the word out.
Trying to do it as much as possible.
How many people are you expecting this year?
I'm hoping for 1,500.
Wow.
I'm hoping. Okay. If we get 1,000, I'm very happy.
And what can people expect? Will there be meat-themed activities and vendors?
And the meat is there, right?
Yes. Curtis brings a piece of meat. It'll be in the History Museum. We have a great, for being a little tiny county and community, we have a great History Museum. Mm-hmm. Bruce Brazil and Rob Cascade have done amazing stuff. You walk in, and it was the old courtroom in our old courthouse upstairs. And they have a wall that's like Sharpsburg and Bethel, and then a wall that's like Olympia, and a wall that's Owensville and Salt Lake. And then we have a great military room because Rob was in the military and takes that very serious. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of people that have donated stuff to be on display.
Neat.
So it'll be up there with that stuff with Kurt and
will there be security?
Brent and Rob, that's our only security.
Okay. But you better watch out.
They will.
I'm picturing like a jewelry heist. You know, they always have the most expensive jewelry in the glass box.
Which luckily it's in the front. Or the back, I guess. Technically, as you come in the door, so maybe we'll have people tackle them if it happens again. Because Kurt has a history of it.
You can run, but you can't hide.
Yeah, but we'll have that there, and it is handicap accessible and everything. Though it's on the second floor, they have one of those little chairs that takes about 4 minutes up and 4 minutes down.
Nice.
but it's there if you need it.
Okay.
And then we are going to have vendors that are just, they're craft vendors, food vendors and everything, clothing and jewelry and all that kind of stuff.
It sounds like something that's good for the whole family and educational for kids, right? They can learn about local history.
Learn about it. And of course, the whole point of putting it up in the museum is that, like, well, we're here, let's look at the other stuff. Then you hear so many stories of people like, oh, well, I'm from Salt Lake, and I didn't realize this happened here, and didn't realize, because we are also, me and Rob, especially, and Brent are Halloween people, so we have a Halloween festival as well, and we had, like, stories, all the weird stories from Bath County, so if you need stories, I've got them.
Okay.
Me and Rob do the Haunted History Walk.
Oh, yeah.
But back to the meat festival, we have the vendors set up, food vendors that are there all day. We've got, at the library, we're going to have a, as we call it, the Meet the Authors. And yes, it is
Love.
Yeah. One of our main features is Mick Sullivan, which works, he works for the Fraser Museum in Louisville and has the Past and the Curious podcast that is kid history. It's trying to get, you know, if we focused on kids, but history. He wrote a book called The Meat Shower that is a children's book from the perspective of the piece of meat. It's different.
That
it's
sounds
funny.
Amazing.
It's great, and he's going to do a live reading of it at the festival at the library. Along with him, we have I think 9-10 other authors that are going to be set up that have some of them they've written books and have like a chapter or a piece about the meat shower. We're going to talk to them, Kevin McQueen and Marvin Bartlett. Not to get your
that's okay.
Hey, we're all friends here in this business.
He used to work at 18,
yeah, he did. Yeah.
But and then we've got other authors that are other genres, young adult and history and sci-fi. And I believe we even have a romance lady going to be there.
Is there a romance book about the meat shower?
No.
Has this been vetted?
I was like, let's do this. A couple of people that work at the library have written books. So I was like, let's do it.
Totally.
And then my neighbor that I started doing the events with, he was part of the horse circuit in Kentucky.
Okay.
Doing the horse shows and stuff. He's written a book about it. It's the whole history of Kentucky and even down into Tennessee about the horse circuit. So he's going to be there with his book to talk to people.
A romance book about the meat shower.
It probably could be done.
Do something with that.
It's a new 50 Shades of Grey. 50 Shades of Meat. But we're going to have it. Kids, we have kids activities.
Fun.
We have games for them. We have what we call the vulture throwing contest, which is a paper airplane. This year we're going to go bigger though with like poster board form.
Nice.
Where they do like a distance throw and they do, we like set out a target and who can get closest to the target.
You all thought of everything.
We try.
What's on the menu? What's the food situation? I mean, a lot of meat?
We have
like those turkey sticks that you get at,
anyone doing those? We got Sutherland Food Company. Barbecue.
Yum.
They are also sponsoring our chili dog eating contest. Which is it is.
I do love a
last
chili
year
dog.
We did hot dogs, and this year he cooks and we're doing chili dogs. Because last year everybody came in expecting, because we didn't talk about it, it was just chili. It was a hot dog eating contest.
Yeah.
So they were expecting regular hot dogs.
Yeah,
like
sure.
10 of them have 10 minutes to eat. Whoever eats them, whatever. Well, it turned out we had the big Costco hot dogs. One hot dog for a person, so who could eat it the fastest. And it was hilarious watching these big guys pull up. Oh, I can eat that.
Yeah.
And they get about halfway through it, and they're like, I can't do it.
In my hometown, the 4th of July, of July is like Walton, Indiana's holiday. And they did a hot dog contest for the first time last year. And my brother, he's the football coach at the local high school. He signed up and he can put away some food. We always make fun of him for it, but it was the same deal. It was like all these macho guys are walking up to the stage. Like, I'm going to eat 20 hot dogs. They got through I think they had 10 minutes to see how many hot dogs they could eat. And they each did like 3, maybe 4. And all of a sudden they started like throwing up and gagging.
They are not Joey Chestnut.
And then once one threw up, I've never seen anything nastier in my life.
And I felt so bad. I guess he must have been high school or maybe just out of high school. Just hammered it and got down to like the last bite. And of course, his mouth was full. He's sitting there chewing and chewing. And this other guy, the whole time, he was just like, eat a bite. Just stand there, eat a bite, while these other ones are just trying their hardest.
Yeah.
He won the contest. Because the boy got that last bite, and he couldn't get his mouth cleared enough to eat it.
Were they dipping it in water?
It was just straight hot dog. It was just literally a regular size bun, so the hot dog hung out. But the funniest part of it, too, was we have a festival, spring festival, called May Day. And then it started out as part of it. We had the Miss Bath County pageant. They were combined. Now they're separate because of COVID. It messed it all up however many years ago now.
Mm-hmm.
But so the girls that are part of it, they have to have volunteer hours to be part of it. So they all came to help at the meat shower festival. And I was like, awesome. I had people to help me. So they're like, well, what do you need us to do? I was like, these hot dogs, get them out. We're going to just put them in the microwave mm-hmm. for a minute to warm them up. And then we also do the bologna toss, which is literally the big thick cut bologna and like a discus throw, like tossing it.
I want to try that.
Who can throw it the farthest?
Mm-hmm.
And these little girls, which maybe kids don't do it nowadays, but they were so grossed out by bologna and hot dogs. And I was like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
And then our previous year queen, she was there, and she was like, give them to me. Like, I'll
if you have to be the queen.
Yeah,
you
I'll do it. I don't care. Let's get this done. And, of course, eventually they were like, okay, it's not that gross. We've got, you can wash your hands. Yeah. We've got a sink here.
I actually like a bologna sandwich.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yummy.
Yeah, I do think it sounds like you have to have kind of a strong stomach maybe to attend this festival, whether it's hearing the story about the vultures.
Or an open-minded heart.
We had last year, a couple came up and they were looking at the meat and the husband on the table beside
he threw up?
It. Yeah.
So you got to be warned.
Yeah. It's not,
before you see
it. You can't even hardly see it in the jar because mm-hmm. it's the formaldehyde. And,
yeah.
Yeah. Because they were like, because it happened when Kurt was outside doing, he participated in the hot dog eating contest.
I had to take a break.
By the time
that.
I came back inside, mm-hmm. Rob was like, I gotta tell you something. I was like, what? He's like, this happened. He's like, we hurried and cleaned it up as fast as we could before he got back inside. He saw it, which of course I told him about it. He was like, that's hilarious.
That might have been a first for that reaction.
But we do the meatball distance throw, which is like
like a whole track and field.
It's like a Easter, like an egg toss.
Okay.
Have you ever done that?
Oh, where you
throw
don't
it
drop
and
it.
You back up. So last year we did it and they were doing pretty good. And it was like one toss, everybody but two teams dropped it at the same time. So then we had them do it and they just kept backing up. And they just kept backing up. And I was like, it was like two high school boys and then like a dad and a high school age mm-hmm. boy. And I was like, this is going to take forever. Like, I got things to do. We got to get this over with. So we did the one stood where they were and had to throw it as high as they could throw it. And then the other two, they stayed where they were at. And when I told them, they could run up. And at first, we tried to do it. You had to catch it in your mouth. And that was very hard. So then we turned it into just whoever caught it.
Yeah.
And luckily, the two high school boys, they missed it. And the dad and the son, they won the prize. And
wow.
Got to enjoy that. But that's kind of our games we've got. And then we have the grand finale, which is we are going to make it rain meat out of Overtop Bath County for the first time in 150 years.
Let's go.
Yeah.
And we do literally mean rain meat. It will rain from the sky.
What are like the health department guidelines on that?
Oddly enough, I was
that
there yesterday morning talking
question,
to them
Evie.
About it. All I can say is it is edible.
Okay.
What we're going to do is it's going to happen and then the probably let the kids go first and then adults.
Okay.
What kind of meat?
I can't tell you that.
You got to be there, basically.
Yeah,
like, you have to show up.
I'm sworn to secrecy how it's going to happen and what it is exactly.
What a tease.
Yeah, which is, it's going to be interesting.
So we've got bologna, mm-hmm. meatballs, yeah. barbecue, yeah. hot dogs, and mystery meat. That's a lot of meat.
True mystery meat.
Also mystery meat chili cook-off. We're having that as well.
Okay.
That was another, I had to go with me to the health department to make sure we could do that.
People are going to get the meat sweats.
Yeah, they are. Also, I almost forgot, we're doing exotic meat tasting. At one of our local little restaurants that's in middle of town, uh-huh. Salt Mine Cafe, that's their kind of sponsorship for the event. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get the meat, which is, I don't know what all I'm getting, but he's a very good chef. Mm-hmm. He is going to prepare it and make like herbs kind of samples where you can just kind of come mm-hmm. in and taste it. He's also participating in our mystery meat chili contest.
Okay.
Which is open to anybody and everybody that wants to be in it. We'll have probably cash prizes and from some of our sponsors, the R.L. Brown Foundation, they're giving us like gift cards and stuff to give away for the game.
Nice.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be, we're hoping it's going to be great. I have spreading the social media stuff. I got people like from Ohio
and
everywhere that are talking about coming.
It's eye catching.
I don't count until they get there in my experience of doing events, but hopefully we're going to have a very large crowd.
Yeah. You've piqued our interest.
Yes. And you've given us so many reasons to attend. But if you could just, your final pitch to people, they have a free day. Yeah. Why should they come to the festival?
My biggest pitch, and it's with all of our stuff that I do, but, you know, of course, this, especially with the Meat Festival, it's everything's free.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to play a game, if you want to go to the museum, if you want to see the Meat Rain happen again, it's all free. So that families do not have to spend a fortune to entertain their
so
kids.
Important.
One of our biggest supporters, like family wise, it's his family. I think they have 5 kids, and they're like, "We love you so much," because it doesn't cost us $200 to
totally.
Do anything. So that is one of the big things, is it's free.
Mm-hmm.
We want the community to come out. We want outside of the community to come out for the event. It's technically it's once in a lifetime. You only get one 150th.
Yeah. That is true.
And we are going all out for it. We want to put something on that people will talk about for ever and ever and ever.
Just like the last meat shower.
Just like the last one. That's right.
I love it. Date and time and location?
It is February 28th, Saturday, next Saturday. Or what, should I say this Saturday? This Saturday.
This Saturday. Okay.
It's February 28th, this Saturday. It's in Owensville, Kentucky, mm-hmm. which is right on I-64. So it's an easy,
no matter
which way you're coming from, it's an easy mm-hmm. get to. Because it's literally off the interstate, and you come up the town hill, and you're there. You can't miss it. The one stoplight. If you want more information, visit the Owensville Trade Day Facebook page. That's okay. where we've got all the updates and everything. We are planning right now. It's rain or shine, because we do have indoor space. We can move everybody. The only thing that we'll get changed would be the actual meat shower.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll either do that on Sunday or maybe do it on the 3rd. So it is literally the 150th.
Yeah.
But if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. I'm the person, if you talk to Owensville Trade Days, I'm the person you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
Also, just to throw it out there, if you see people saying, "Get with me for a vendor spot," or "to sign up for this or sign up for that," it is fake.
The scams are out there.
Oh, my Lord, they are out there.
Oh, gosh.
And I even have it set up to where I have to approve,
mm-hmm.
and it's, okay. somehow it still gets through.
Yeah.
We do not ask for money. We do not ask for personal information.
So
if you see that
good
on
warning
there, let me know, and I'll try to get rid of
it. Take care of it.
Yeah.
Last question for you, Ian. It's obvious you are someone who loves Kentucky. You love your hometown, and this is such a cool opportunity to put it on the map and share your love for Bath County and Owensville.
Yeah.
What do you hope that people walk away with from this festival, having learned about your community?
We are a small community. We are a pretty beautiful community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One of my favorite stories is to tell. We had a movie film in town, and Malcolm McDowell from like Clockwork Orange.
Mm-hmm.
I was sitting there. I was talking to him because I worked on locations with him, and he was like, "How much does a house cost here?" And at the time, I was like, "Well, you can probably get one of these houses on Main Street for $200,000 or something." He was like, "What?" He's like, "I may retire here." He's like, "I love it. I love it." It's because we do try to keep the historic,
mm-hmm.
and we want to promote the historic, but we're looking to grow. So we want people to come and experience it and then hopefully come back.
Like I said,
we've got our May Day Festival, or it's the downtown creep around, mm-hmm. our Halloween festival. And we've got a big Christmas that we do. And then I do events throughout the summer, like with our community mm-hmm. pool and everything. So there are things going on. And like I said, now, luckily, in Salt Lake, in Sharpsburg, we have things going on, also in Bath County. So you can kind of get a little bit of everything.
Including Meat Shower 2.0.
Exactly.
I love it. February 28th. Yes, this to all our listeners and viewers. You know what you're doing. Mark your calendar right now. So awesome. Ian, is there anything else that you wanted to mention about the festival while we've got you here?
Just come on out. Come see the meat. That is our slogan. Come see the meat.
And that simple.
Enjoy everything else that comes along with it.
Sure, sweet, to the point. Ian, thank you so much for making the drive and promoting
the
Meat Shower Festival.
Yes.
We're so excited.
I know.
And I'm going to, once we're done with this podcast, I feel like I'm going to do some more research.
Totally.
Really,
it has a great Wikipedia page.
Okay.
It even has its own Wikipedia page.
Oh, yeah.
That's how you know something is a big deal.
All right. Well, you heard it here on Hot Mic, Meat Shower Festival, February 28th. Ian, thank you so much.
Thank you.
And we will see you guys next time on another episode of Hot Mic.